And welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. It's good to be with you again today. And we've got a guest on today. I'll be introducing her in just a moment, but I want to give you a scripture verse for the day before we get started. So some of my favorite verses are in the book of John and also in Hebrews. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Now, I also want to read you from the book of Hebrews today. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers and through prophets, and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." And that's our scripture verse for the day for the show. And I want to go ahead and bring Kelly on the show now. Let me give you a background on Kelly. Kelly Nelson has been researching the Christian right and their connections to the left, the New Age, and cults since 1975. Formerly an executive producer for three different national talk show hosts, she was adept at finding and scheduling a variety of wonderful guests for her radio hosts. She and her husband live in Knoxville, Tennessee, and she has owned her wholesale commercial bakery since 1990. Prior to moving to Tennessee, Kelly was marketing communications and advertising manager for a Fortune 100 company in Ohio. Born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, she was a Goldwater girl with high school classmate Hillary Rodham, in Park Ridge, Illinois. Kelly is well acquainted with Chicago politics and was working in downtown Chicago during the 1968 Democratic Convention riots. Kelly is presently the secretary for Rocky Top Freedom Campaign, a strong freedom advocacy group. Kelly, thank you so much. So thank you for agreeing to be on with me today. And I read an article that you did with News and Views on Monday. It was released on February the 1st. It said, "Did Ted Cruz succeed fooling Iowa voters with his shamming letter?" Kind of give me a background, Kelly, on what that article said that you wrote, because I want everybody to go to News with Views and look at that and read it. But tell me what the gist of the article was, please.
Well, basically, he put out a flyer that he sent to a whole lot of people, and I'm wondering if he got the actual voting lists of folks and people who had not previously voted consistently, because that's who he sent this to, and he shamed them by saying, you know, "You have not done this, you need to bring up your voting record," and basically it was a fraudulent way to force these people to come out and vote for him. Not only that, but there were some people that came forward and said, "I'm sorry, but I'm crippled. I can't leave my house." And they were infuriated that Ted Cruz had done this. He has, now there's even been more people that have come out and said, "Hey, this was really a fraudulent thing that he did." The Secretary of State of Iowa was very upset with the man for doing this. But now, get this, even Karl Rove has said this was fraudulent. Now, coming from Karl Rove, that's a pretty big statement. What I figure is they want to keep Ted Cruz in here to suck votes away from Trump. But when they've deleted Trump with enough votes for Cruz, they will dump Cruz and put the man in that they really want in the White House, and that's Rubio. But then that's just my thinking. I'm not sure I'm right on that, although I'm watching this and I'm thinking it's going this way. And Cruz has committed so many nasty things, I don't know how any Christians can even vote for this guy. Are they not watching what he's done? He's even come out and said that Donald Trump has never cared about veterans prior to his veteran rally that he had the other night that made $6.5 million. And then he even stated, guess what, that Trump was going to keep all of this money himself.
He didn't say
totally
that.
Totally untrue.
Did he really say that, Kelly?
Yeah, he did. He came out and intimated that he was going to keep all this money himself. Well, he gave $1 million of his own money, and it was his friends that he called up and got to donate to the veterans. But he had received, Trump had received awards back in 1995 from veterans previously. He got an award from the Vietnam veterans in 1995. I don't know where they get this stuff, but they lie with impunity. Nobody calls them to task, and you really can't. You know why you can't, because of the Supreme Court ruling in 1964. But these lies have gone on, and they're building. And I don't know if you have talked to your listeners about the fact that Ted Cruz used the Analytica, Cambridge Analytica Research Group, that is owned by and funded by one of his big funders. Mercer is the man's name. And they actually went into Facebook with a survey and then took all of the results of the survey of all these people that filled out the questions. And they're spying on them for purposes of finding out what their voting ideas are and how they'll vote and what they'll vote for. So he's using the same tactics that Obama used in 2008 and 2012, and he's openly stated that.
Well, Kelly, what are we going to do about the straight, what seemed to be just blatant election fraud that took place in Iowa? I mean, even Donald Trump is calling for that election to be nullified. It seems to me a lot of the votes were siphoned off from Trump illegally and given to Rubio. Was that done through the Diebold election machines, or was one through one of Bill Gates' Microsoft processors?
I don't know. It could have been because Bill Gates is in charge of those machines and that voting. But I think really what it was the fact that Cruz went out, and this is what Karl Rove said. I was really shocked to hear Karl Rove say this, and I'm going to link to that in another article. But he stated that because Cruz went out and stated in Iowa and had all of his people tell everybody at the caucuses that Carson had backed out, and please put your Carson votes towards Ted Cruz. Well, Karl Rove came up with a figure of how many that would be, and had he not done that, probably Trump would have won. So
wow.
Right there, you've got a problem with fraud. Hmm?
Well, can they redo the election in Iowa? I mean, can they redo that caucus? I mean, what can they do?
No, they won't redo it.
So there's no way. There's no legal precedent for that, is there?
Well, no, there isn't. But besides that, you've got the right, the left, and the MSM, and none of them want Donald Trump. They hate him. He's thrown a wrench.
Why do they hate him so much, Kelly?
Well, he's the only one that's not a globalist. He's the only one that hasn't signed on to all of their plans. He's the only one that isn't beholden to somebody for their money. I mean, look at these other candidates. They're all beholden to folks that want amnesty, the big shots on Wall Street, the big banks, Goldman Sachs with Cruz. He's not beholden to anybody. He's funding his own campaign, so he can do and say as he pleases. It's resonating with the people. It's filled a void with the people. And I am just shocked, really, that... Well, no, I'm not. I guess I shouldn't say that, because the churches and the pulpits have really been taken over for a long time. But these Christians that listen to Ted Cruz and think, oh, he's a wonderful Christian, they aren't doing any research. I mean, any fool out there can say they're a Christian. Obama said he was a
Christian. What do you think the Supreme Court's going to do as far as ruling for his eligibility, Kelly?
I think they'll just slide over it, or they won't even hear it. That's what I think, because none of them know really the Constitution or Vattel's The Nation, which was given to Ben Franklin at the 1787 convention, and which stated that you had to be born of two American parents. I mean, Obama set the precedent, and now the right's using the same thing. Our founders wanted to protect us from foreign entities being in the White House, and you've got a foreign entity in there now.
Well, what about Trump's Trump's mother being from Scotland?
So what? She became an American citizen before Trump was born. So he was
it doesn't matter where they're born as long as the person is born here and both the parents are American citizens before someone's born.
It doesn't even matter where they were born, as long as they're born of two American citizens. Say you and your wife are traveling and she's 8.5 months pregnant and you're in Rome. You're in Italy, right?
Right.
Okay, the baby's born in Italy. The baby may have dual citizenship, but as soon as you get home, you renounce that citizenship and the child is 100% American citizen because it was born of two American parents.
Okay. So it doesn't matter where the child was born. It only matters where the parents, if the parents are both Americans.
Yeah, you know, they went around and around with McCain on this because McCain was born outside of the military base. And they said because he wasn't born on military base, which was American soil, that he may not be eligible. But that's not true. That's not at all what Vattel was saying. As a matter of fact, I don't have the article in front of me, but there's another little glitch to this. Actually, Rubio is basically an anchor baby because neither of his parents were American citizens when he was born. Both of them were still Cuban citizens who had immigrated, okay? The situation there, according to the man, the senator who wrote the piece for, which amendment is it? Is it the 14th? I can't remember. That wrote the piece for this whole anchor baby situation. He actually wrote that this did not apply to foreigners whose children were born here. Okay? So in reality, Rubio is totally illegal. Of course, so is Cruz. But Rubio is even worse because he was born to two Cuban parents.
Wow. Now tell me about because I told my listeners yesterday when I promoted you're going to be on today, about how you knew Hillary Rodham back in high school. You guys attended the same school, and how she was a Goldwater Republican girl and how she was super conservative in the very beginning, that she was changed. Explain how she was set over to this communist ideology.
Okay, well, it didn't just happen in college. It actually happened while she was in high school. And despite the fact that she was a Goldwater girl in 63, despite the fact that she had written a beautiful letter to our 50-year American history teacher, Paul Carlson, who was a wonderful teacher, that she would always be a staunch Republican, a constitutional conservative. His family still has that very letter signed by Hillary Rodham at the time. But what happened was, in the city of Park Ridge, there was a Methodist church. Park Ridge actually was called the Village of Park Ridge, and that's where her book came from. It takes a village. But it was very, very conservative. Her father was even a manufacturing plant owner and was a strong Republican. You know, the whole town was very Republican. Well, the Methodist church in Park Ridge hired a youth pastor by the name of Don Jones. Unbeknownst to the church, Don Jones was a Saul Alinsky student. And apparently he had read Rules for Radicals. And in Rules for Radicals, of course, Saul Alinsky says that the first radical was actually Lucifer. At any rate, she went to that church, Hillary did, and I believe he was there for about 3 years before he left. His name was Don Jones, and that's what started the change in Hillary. But what's interesting is he died about 5 or 6 years ago, and up until then, he still occasionally traveled with Hillary as her spiritual advisor. But right there is the core of what happened with Hillary. In fact, Barbara Olson, who died in the 9/11 crash into the military,
the Pentagon.
Yeah, the Pentagon. She had actually written a book, and she talked to me and two other gals who knew Hillary quite well in high school, and we dug out all the information we had on her, and she actually put all of this in her book, and it was quite good. She really delved into Hillary's past, so anybody can find it. It's not just me saying it. It is in Barbara Olson's book.
What's the name of her book? Do you remember?
I don't, but you can put in Barbara Olson in Amazon, and I think she only had two or three books. It'll come right up with a picture of Hillary on the front. So,
well, we're almost out of time, so let me ask you a couple more questions real quick. What can Trump do to prevent what happened to him in Iowa from happening again, or is the country so far gone he can't do anything to stop it?
Well, he's not going to be able to stop voter fraud. I think the people just have to go out in droves for him. But he is going to have to come out with both guns blazing, really, this time, because Cruz is going after him. He's lying over and over again. I don't have the list in front of me of all the things I've written about that he's lied about, but you know they can get away with this because of that 1964 ruling in the Supreme Court, right? Have you told your listeners about that?
Go ahead and cover that, Kelly.
Okay, in 1962, a police chief in Montgomery, Alabama, by the name of Sullivan, sued the New York Times for lying about what happened in Montgomery, Alabama, with a charge against Martin Luther King for perjury. He sued and won a judgment of $500,000 in an Alabama court. It was upheld in the Alabama Supreme Court, but the New York Times didn't like that. So what they did was they went back and they sued Sullivan. And the court at the time was the Warren Supreme Court, very liberal. There were three moderates, the rest of them were liberal. The decision was unanimous that the media and public figures can lie with impunity. They didn't say lie with impunity, but this is what it came out to be, unless you could prove there was actual malice. That's their exact words, quote unquote, actual malice. Well, it's impossible to prove that there is actual malice, even though with the things that Cruz has done to Trump and the things he said about Trump, even though you can see blatantly that it's lies and Trump can prove that it's lies, who's going to go to court and try to fight this with that 1964 decision? It would be next to impossible to get anybody for libel today. So here's Trump sitting here with these lies being told about him, and he better be doing some research on Cruz and Rubio, because both of them are hardcore globalists, and if Trump doesn't start coming out with facts on them and using some of these same tactics to inform the voters in each state they're going to, he's going to lose, because they're fighting dirty and they don't care. And the Christians in America, they don't seem to care either. They all have the discernment of a dead fish today. They don't know anything. If you say you're a Christian, they accept you. So where do we stand? How do we fight it? He's going to have to fight fire with fire, don't you think?
Well, you know, it's sad, Kelly, because, you know, as Christians, we're not supposed to be going to court in front of the unbeliever and all the other things. But the problem is in the media, where so much of this stuff is tried now, you're basically accused and condemned in the media. And if you don't defend yourself or get attorneys involved in it, they just run rampant with your reputation and everything you say. They just take sound bites and make you look like a liar. I mean, I've had that happen to me. Oh, gosh, I've been in the radio business for 35 years. And I remember years ago, back in the 80s and the 90s, I would do these tape shows, and also they would just come out, and they would take little sound bites of the tape, and then they would interpret the sound bites that I said into a completely different meaning that I had meant. And that's what happened. That happened with Ross Perot a bunch, and that's when Ross Perot finally said, I won't do anything but live interviews anymore because you're not going to basically reduce me to a soundbite. Kelly, I want to thank you. We all need to pray together. I know that's true, and I know you agree with that as far as for the United States and for the country. I want to thank you so much. And if you get any more breaking information, please contact me. I'll bring you back to the listeners. We'll put you back on the air again. And again,
can I say one more thing, the one thing that people should be doing is they should be praying for Trump. If they want Trump for president, you better be praying a hedge of protection around him to protect him from these fiery darts of the evil one, because that's really what we're fighting here.
Well, you're absolutely right. His plane was already forced to make an emergency landing last week or this week.
In Nashville, yeah.
Nashville, that's right. And so that's what I talked to my audience about that yesterday, and I said, you know, he needs to have security, and you're absolutely right. We need to cover him in the blood of Christ. We need to say put a hedge of thorns around him. We need to put angels around him. We need to do all of that stuff, because you're absolutely right. They're not going to want him there. And if he starts getting too much interest, too much information, and too much getting ahead in the polls, and they can only manipulate it so far. Iowa, they really pushed it.
And Cruz was part of that. Let me tell you one more thing, too. Trump does not talk about his Christianity, but when he lived in Mar-a-Lago for 10 years with Melania, because they were married there, he was in the Baptist church with his wife every Sunday. How do I know that? Because my best friends down there go to the same church, and they saw them every Sunday. Now, Christmas Eve, he was caught by a telephone photo, you know, by an iPhone photo, sneaking into a Catholic church for midnight mass. But he doesn't talk about his faith. He doesn't talk about his Christianity. It's a private thing with him. These other guys are all using it, especially Cruz, and Cruz's form of Christianity is considered to be heretical, and that's another whole subject. But Cruz is using it. Trump is not. That's a big difference.
Wow. Kelly, thank you again. Thanks for being on with me today. We appreciate you. And again, if you have any more breaking information you want to cover with me, let me know. You've got my personal email address. You can contact me. We'll put you right back on again. And everybody go to News with Views and read Kelly's Nelson's article. She's a phenomenal writer and a great talk show guest. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Bye.
And Austin, are you with me?
Yes, sir, I am.
Boy, wow, what a good interview.
Yeah, that was definitely a very interesting.
Yeah, that she was.
I didn't realize all that up in Iowa, but I knew there was quite a bit of stuff going on.
Well, that's why I told everybody. See, that's why when I don't know exactly what's happening with people or what's going on, I try to bring the people in that are writing about this and researching about this and this stuff. So I don't have to know everything, but I tell you what, she was really, really knowledgeable, especially with how Hillary was converted in a church by a youth pastor. How nuts is that?
I tell you, man, when you're that age, you're very susceptible to stuff, people like that. And authority over you in churches. That's why it's so important to go to a church that you have a really good youth pastor.
That's right, and that's why if you do put your children in a collegiate high school program, or they're even in high school, and you've got teachers that are trying to promote these crazy ideologies, these children, you better sit and talk with those kids or find them another teacher really, really fast. What's your first story today, Oz?
Yep, first one here. This is interesting. The McDonald's tried to do basically a PR stunt to show what was in there. French fries, and it came out now after they tested everything. There's 19 ingredients in their French fries. As listed, there's potatoes, canola oil, soybean oil, hydrogenated soybean oil, beef flavor, hydrolyzed wheat, hydrolyzed milk, citric acid, dimethyl pulsiloxane, dextrose, sodium acid, pyrophosphate, salt, canola oil, corn oil, hydrogenated soybean oil, TBHQ, citric acid, and dimethyl oxysiloxane. And yes, I said canola oil and soybean oil twice on that list. And they stated that the hydrogenated oil, the citric acid, the soybean oil, everything is used in two different stages of the production. First as part of their oil blend at the supplier level, and then again at the restaurant when they reheat it. And one of the ingredients that really raised concerns was the dimethyl siloxane, which is an anti-foaming agent. It's a very common ingredient in fast food. but people fail to acknowledge that it's used silicone caulk, hair conditioners, and silly putty. So it's pretty toxic stuff. I hope none of our listeners eat McDonald's french fries, because I've always referred to them as death fries. They're pretty toxic, and you can be completely assured that you're eating GMO corn along with GMO corn oil and GMO soybean oil on top of that. There's some toxic stuff. I recommend never eating it. But what's funny is the next article goes the same thing. At McDonald's has come out with all this negative publicity now with that and the abused poultry. So they came out with a healthy kale salad now. The problem with this healthy kale salad is that it's basically got more calories and more sodium than a Big Mac and even a double Big Mac. They were saying on there with the Parmesan, cheese, bacon, croutons, and the Kraft-made dressing, it comes out to 730 calories and with 1,400 milligrams of sodium for one of their healthy kale salads. So do us all a favor. Don't support McDonald's. Don't eat there. There's nothing positive you're going to get out of that restaurant as far as food. I just wanted to make sure that everybody remembers that.
Well, you know, it's crazy with that, Austin. How in the world do they come up with that concoction of chemicals to start with to cook French fries?
I don't know. That's one thing I was reading.
gosh, it sounds like a pharmacology of don't do this. And
last time I remember, you know, you sliced potatoes up, you threw them and fried them in some peanut oil or some oil that had a high temperature. I mean, canola oil, all that stuff, I understand that. And then add all this other stuff.
Man, it's like all those chemicals in there. It's crazy. Okay, here's my first story. This is from Paul Joseph Watson. Professor demands mandatory Arabic lessons for German children.
Wow.
Kids forced to assimilate to migrants, not the other way around. A prominent professor has demanded that children in Germany be made to take mandatory Arabic lessons in order to help the millions of Muslim migrants pouring into the country. Computer science professor Thomas Strohot writes that Arabic should be a compulsory lesson for children so that Germany can be a country of immigration and a multilingual society. Now they're talking multilingual. According to Strohot, the lessons would help prepare the children for the profound transformation process in the Middle East that's happening in Germany also, because basically Germany is becoming an Arab-Muslim country. Unbelievable, Austin. I mean, this is the land of Beethoven. And, you know, and Mozart and Strauss and all those boys. I mean, this is unbelievable that this country is being completely given over by George Soros and the Fuhrer Merkel to do this and destroy the country. I mean, unbelievable. I don't even know what to say about this. What's your next story?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's disgusting as far as how they act now. This is a response from this is an article that Breitbart came out with. You know, like you both talked about, there's definitely interesting articles they come out with. Here's the headline: Multicultural Toilets for Global Defecation Seeks to Stop Migrants Pooping All Over the Floor. That's the title. German bathroom manufacturers have developed a multicultural toilet to help ensure Middle Eastern migrants need not adapt to European sanitation norms. Multiple reports have emerged of recent arrivals finding themselves mystified by Western toilets. Most of them resorting to doing their business on the floor or outdoors. Others have used showers, bathtubs, and many migrants have never even seen toilet paper before. And what's interesting is a small German town basically got accused of being racist after issuing leaflets politely asking migrants to use the facilities correctly. What they were doing is apparently they were going into toilets, you know, to areas, and they didn't know what to do with the toilet. So they would basically just defecate on the floor beside it and leave it because they didn't know what to do. And, forbid you try and figure something out. And now what they're even trying to do is they said once they introduce these toilets that are multicultural, they have, like, side steps on the side of them, everything else, so the Muslims can just squat over the toilet and make a mess all over the toilet and then leave instead of having to use it like a normal person. They also said they want to make sure that the toilets do not face, their backs do not face Mecca. In addition, latrines for men and women have to be completely separate from one another. And also, the floors in the bathroom cannot be green in color because that is the color of Islam. Every time I turn around, the Europe is just continually capitulating to these Muslims instead of the other way around, forcing these individuals that are getting free housing, free food, free everything, a free country to live in, my goodness, and making them adapt to this culture. All they're doing is compromising and making it easier and easier and easier for these individuals to live here, and making it harder and harder and harder for Western Europeans to actually have a normal society like they grew up in, that actually is rich with their heritage culture. Instead, they're just bowing down and giving over to Islam. It's quite nauseating, actually.
Well, I mean, quite frankly, I don't even know what to say about this, except it's absolutely ridiculous, because the truth of the matter is, you know, we've got a major problem. It's happening in the United States and in Europe. The last time I was in Germany back in December, it was the first time that I ever went into public bathrooms and found them filthy. I've not seen that before. And, you know, you've been there with me before, and it's always everything's spotless over there.
Germany's super clean.
Not anymore, buddy. Not anymore. There's trash on the streets now, trash on the sidewalks, garbage cans aren't empty, and filthy bathrooms. And I'm like, what happened to the culture? Germany used to be, you could literally eat off the sidewalks. I know when my mom came over from Germany in 1952 after the war, when she married my dad, she would literally go out in front of the house every day, or at least once a week, and scrub the sidewalks in front of the house. Scrub the sidewalks on her hands and knees. Scrub them. I mean, just a clean freak. And I'm kind of like that. I was raised that way, so I'm like super clean with everything I do. I'm real neat all the time. And what's sad about this is that, you know, that whole culture is just going away. And the German people that are dying off, they haven't taught their children how to live properly. Here's another article. The world's biggest container ship has gone run aground as the Baltic Dry Index crashes below 300 for the first time ever. This is from Zero Hedge.
Wow.
Before this year, the lowest level the Baltic Dry Index had reached was 556 in August of 1986, and the highest was in June 2008, 11,612. Today saw the freight index hit a new milestone, however, crashing through the 300 barrier for the first time ever at 298. This is almost 50% below the previous low record. But it's not just commodities in the Baltic Dry Index sold. As G. Capitan reports, one of the world's biggest container ships has now run aground hard in Germany's Elbe River, one of the leading rivers leading to the port of Hamburg. So, I mean, so it's interesting to me, Austin. This is all coming apart now at the seams as we're watching it. And gold was trying to make a rally. It's been up. It's about $80 an ounce up in the last month. This morning, they shorted the yak out of it. As soon as London and U.S. opened up, just dropped it hard. It came right back. It rebounded. So unless they do another naked short out of Japan in the middle of the night before China opens up, I think the days of shorting this with naked shorts with hundreds of millions of ounces being sold in paper at one whack with no bottom to the price, I think it's over with, son. I don't think they'll be able to short it off anymore like they've been doing.
No, I don't think so either, because one thing about this with the Baltic Dry Index, it's very difficult to manipulate the numbers like you see with the gold and silver just referring to. This is actually true numbers that are on how many ships are moving around, so it's very difficult to manipulate them for an extended period of time because they eventually catch up. The fact that we're seeing the Baltic Dry like this break below 200, I mean, I think the numbers that they said the highest that it ever was 2008, which is obviously, you know, pretty much the peak of everything going on, was over 11,000. And like you said, the previous low, I think, was in 86 before this, 1986, it's almost 30 years ago, was 556. So we're seeing it drop below 300. This is significant, man. If anybody's curious about what the economy is doing, those are real numbers right there. This isn't the Dow that's artificially propped up with our, you know, what do they call it? You always call them all the time. I forgot the name of them.
What, the commodities?
No, the guys that propped up the plunge protection team.
The plunge, yeah.
Yeah. Plunge protection team. They can't really get involved with a lot of stuff. These are real numbers. So, I mean, it's getting serious.
Well, by the way, the show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. Thank you for your support. We appreciate your business. You know, we appreciate you supporting a family-run corporation. Healthmasters.com for the finest, highest quality supplements in the world, finest, highest quality distillers you can buy. And we have a free newsletter that you can sign up for. That you'll be getting newsletters from us two or three times a week, sometimes five times a week. We'll send you all the latest health updates. As far as the first health update I want to talk about, this is out of Breitbart. Brazil's baby defects outbreak could be caused by a new vaccine, activists are now saying. What doctors don't tell you, health activists are suspecting the sudden outbreak of causes of microcephaly, a birth defect that causes abnormally small heads in newborns, isn't caused by the Zika virus. We covered all of that on a Wednesday. But the Tdap tetanus diphtheria and acellular pertussis vaccine that pregnant women in Brazil started to be given last year. The Zika virus has been around for at least 70 years and hasn't caused any long-term ill effects. And yet the outbreak of microcephaly cases in Brazil coincides with the start of the new vaccination program, imagine that, designed to slow the progress of pertussis or whooping cough. Pregnant women started to be given the vaccine at the beginning of 2015, and cases of microcephaly have been reported since October. 10 months later, by December, 2400 cases have been reported, and the Brazilian government declared a state of emergency. The virus, which is spread by mosquitoes, has been linked to microcephaly because it was found in a baby who had died after contracting the condition. The virus was also found in the amniotic fluid of two mothers whose babies were born with microcephaly. Remember, these are three kids they're talking about that was found with that died. Here's the crazy thing. 2,500 of these people have been diagnosed now after they started giving them injections of the of the pertussis, the tetanus, and the diphtheria while they were pregnant. Gosh, it was sacrosanct, Austin, sacrosanct. Back in the 60s and 70s, pregnant women never received immunizations for anything because they didn't know what the side effects of the developing fetus were going to be. Insanity. Insanity.
Well, no, it's crazy because I just read that same article before we went on the air. And, I mean, like you said, there's like one case in there that there was an issue that the baby died, two other cases in the amniotic fluid. And our John Rappaport, our buddy, was on the show the other day. He said there's on average 25,000 cases of Zika virus in the United States
every year. Not Zika virus, microcephaly, the smaller
brain.
Only a couple of them, or a couple of them globally, have ever been linked to Zika virus, and over in Brazil, and only I think like five or six. He was telling us maybe three or four on Wednesday when he did the show with us. But no, 25,000 cases of the smaller heads in the United States every single year, and we don't know now if that's not because they've been giving these pregnant women shots in our country too, Austin.
Right, with the Tdap. I mean, we talked about it back in November how they're trying to push that on pregnant women now. And, I mean, you can't sit here and say that that's coincidental that they started giving those women in Brazil this vaccine at the beginning of last year, and then all of a sudden, 10 months later, they started seeing this issue with the small heads in these children. 10 months later, right after they started issuing all these vaccines, now what are they saying? Oh, don't have surgeries. Don't have sex. Don't have any babies. If you're in Brazil and you're pregnant, you need to go on a boat and you need to go have an abortion on your boat because your baby may have a small head. It's all fear-mongering and propaganda to try and force the population into no longer producing any more children. That's, in my opinion, that's exactly what it is. And it's funny is here's another article I just got. Indian scientists now said they have developed two full vaccines for the Zika virus, which is linked to underdeveloped brains and babies. The infection, dubbed a global health emergency by the WHO, is believed to have infected millions of people this year. The testing now is going to animal and human trials and should be a success and will be available in the next few months. So again, there you have it. Zika virus, vaccination, more shots, more things they want to add to the list of everybody to get shot up with now. Now it'll be a mandatory vaccination for all babies in the hospital. 1 month old, 6 month old, 1 year old. Oh, you got to have the Zika virus vaccine as well. Let's add it to the, 50 or 60 they have to get in the first 10 years. It's all it is. I mean, you can see this clear as day if your eyes are open.
Well, in fact, they'll be giving it to pregnant women, and they'll be giving it to women who want to get pregnant. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable what's going to happen. Again, the globalists want to reduce the population of the planet. In the meantime, they want to make as much money on us as they possibly can. It's almost to the point of ludicrousy as far as I'm concerned. Here's another one. This is from the border agent. This is from the Washington Examiner. This is interesting. Is we might as well abolish our immigration laws altogether. In a shocking reversal of policy, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents are being told to release illegal immigrants and no longer order them to appear at deportation hearings, essentially a license to stay in the United States. A key agent testified Thursday. What's more, the stand-down order includes a requirement that the whereabouts of illegals released are not to be tracked. We might as well abolish our immigration laws altogether, suggested Agent Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Control Patrol Council. The biggest change, undocumented immigrants are to no longer given a notice to appear because they simply ignore them, Judge said. The border agents jokingly refer to the NTAS as a joke. So you know what's so crazy here is this. I mean, this is exactly what they're doing in Europe. This is exactly what they're doing in the United States. And I was getting my hair cut a little while ago, and I was talking to the folks in there, and they had I was forced to listen to Hillary Clinton on CNN in the barbershop, and all I kept saying is, there's another lie. They're looking at me like, really? And I had given a bunch of the guys, the last time I was there listening to lies on CNN, I said, you guys need to go ahead and watch From JFK to 9/11, It's a Rich Man's Trick on YouTube. From JFK to 9/11, It's a Rich Man's Trick on YouTube. And you know what, Austin? About a half dozen of those guys watched that 3.5-hour video. They started asking me questions about it today. And then they said, do you have any more videos that we need to watch? And I said, yeah, go watch 9/11 Mysteries, 9/11 Mysteries, and 9/11 Loose Change. If you watch those two more videos, you'll get a full understanding of really how twisted this whole thing has become and how many thieves and how many criminals we have in the White House and running the country and running the world right now.
That's interesting. That's good, though. I'm glad to hear that they actually looked it all up. That's pretty exciting. That means, you know, that little spark that you ignited in there that one day could have absolutely woken up a few people in there, but it may have woken up two or three people in their family, which will in turn wake more people up. And that's our overall goal here on our show that's brought to you by healthmasters.com today. I figure I'd just segue into that.
But
that's what we're trying to do, guys. Is we're trying to wake people up. That's the overall goal. That's what you guys can do, too, is bring this information up. Don't be scared about offending people. Don't be scared about people thinking you're weird. Everybody's already going to think you're weird anyways if you listen to the show. If they are not awake, they're going to think you're weird. I just feel like that. But, I mean, the truth is what we're trying to do is bring as much truth to everybody as we can. And that's exactly what Dad just did. That's exactly what he did. Wake a couple people up in a barber shop. It's that easy.
Well, no, it is, and it was the crazy thing about it is, I mean, what happened is there was a super liberal guy in there. He was, Barack Obama's great, and Barack Obama's this, and George Bush is that, and George Bush is that. And I looked at him, and I said, dude, I said, both Barack Obama and George Bush are lowlife. And he looked at me and goes, why do you say that? I said, because they both are. Watch the video, 9/11, JFK to 9/11. And I said, you don't have any idea who George Bush is and who H. Bush is and who Prescott Bush is. I said, they're all a bunch of globalist Nazis. And I said, look, watch the video. I said, they're the ones that supported Hitler, you know, Prescott Bush did. I said, are you kidding me? These guys, you know, Prescott Bush tried to take over the country in 33 with a coup. I've talked about this multiple times on our show. And so because I didn't sit there and argue and try to defend them from a Republican rhetoric standpoint of how great the Bushes were from the GOP standpoint, and I actually said, no, they're all bad, now all of a sudden they're watching the videos and they're starting to listen. How about that? So don't try to take them where they are. Don't try to run a Hail Mary in there. Just tell them the truth. George Bush was bad news. I mean, I know all three of the Bushes. They're all three bad news. And the sad part about it is nobody runs the White House is in the White House. The globalists tell them what to do. It's all run through the Economic Stability Fund, through the shadow banking system, and through the shadow government. It's all controlled by the Rothschild cartel. That's who's doing this. In the bottom line, that's the ones who are in charge. Now, there are a lot of other people that are involved in it also, but these are the guys that are controlling the currency, and if you don't control the currency, it all comes to a screeching halt. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, that's very true on here. This is interesting. I had a customer call me up today, and he brought this up to me. He sent me this link, and I was reading it. I don't know the full validation of it. I do see a copy here of the letter that was notarized and signed by two Harney County Committee of Safety individuals. From what it's saying right here, a constitutional judge as well, his name is Gary Darby up here in Oregon. Just completely changed the subject here, the whole issue that's going up there. These guys are stating that they strongly believe so much that they've had the papers signed and notarized and sent to the marshal in Oregon that Blackstone mercenaries are operating inside of Oregon under the shield of FBI. Blackstone mercenaries are basically the security mercenary group basically connected to the French banking cartel, otherwise known as the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, which is an
Rothschild.
Yeah, and this whole letter right here goes into detail about it. He said, we are in fear of our lives and property as a result of commercial mercenaries operating under the color of law, calling themselves FBI agents. And this whole thing's online. I watched it today. They're basically asking the sheriff county judge to have the FBI removed immediately, that they have been infiltrated and that they are using French mercenaries from the IMF under the FBI badge, which I, again, have no idea if this is accurate or not. This is what the paper's stating, and this is what the Judge Gary Darby is saying. But I do have to say one thing. I watched the video of the individual that was, I think it was LaVoy, that was shot 9 times. And there's a lot of holes in that whole thing, especially the fact, the way that they shot him 9 times, first off. Secondly, how he got out with his hands in his air, in the air, with absolutely no aggressive posturing at all. And how the FBI agents, supposedly, if they're FBI agents, were so blatantly quick to shoot him, even though they knew there was a helicopter monitoring stuff. And the one FBI agent, I watched a video the other day of a retired sheriff that was doing an analysis on the video for about 25 minutes. And one very, very valid point, he said, is the one main FBI officer actually breaks cover from behind his vehicle and goes directly behind LaVoy's truck. It still had passengers in it, to basically engage LaVoy and shoot him. The problem was there was no security around that vehicle. The vehicle had not, been cleared, and there was no telling whether or not any of the individuals inside had weapons pointing outside the window, or if they were planning on engaging him, because if they were, they would have been able to shoot him dead within a second, because he moved from cover so quickly to shoot LaVoy. It almost looks as if they told them, this guy is not to make it out of the state alive. Again, I don't know. That's just my hypothesis on it. That's just what I think. If you believe me, that's great. But it's very interesting when I start seeing letters like this now from an actual judge that are stating that they're believing Blackstone mercenaries are operating under the shield of FBI. It starts to bring some really weird questions out.
Well, it really brings some crazy questions out, because, I mean, where's our rule of law? Where's our constitutions? Where's our Bill of Rights? Where's the right to a free, for speedy trial? I mean, where's the right to know your accuser? I mean, so now we're just going to execute people in the snow because we don't like what they did, because they're protesting the government takeover of their lands, and because of what happened with the gentleman who got put in jail because he burned some property inadvertently, supposedly. I don't know the whole story and what really happened, because I wasn't there. And the sad part about it all is that, you know, the man's dead. And there's nothing we can do to bring him back right now. Next article. After Obama signs the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Sessions is now demanding the candidates reveal their position on the trade deal. Of course, Trump's already told you what he thinks is a bad deal. This is from Breitbart. Following the signing of the agreement, Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican Alabama, who has been the fiercest GOP opponent in Congress of President Obama's globalist trade agenda, called upon every elected official and every presidential candidate to reveal where they stand on TPP. While every other top polling candidate has made his stance on this issue known, Senator Marco Rubio, globalist from Florida, is refusing to tell voters whether he will vote the TPP, which he previously endorsed as the second pillar of a President Rubio's three-pillar foreign policy. This guy's an idiot. He needs to start doing his Chippendale dancing again like he used to when he was a kid. Rubio was also voted, by the way, that's a true story. Rubio also voted to fast-track the Trans-Pacific Partnership, despite the fact that he continues to provide no evidence that he ever even read the deal before doing so. However, Rubio is now refusing to reveal whether he will vote for the trade deal he endorses. So since Rubio has never retracted his support for TPP, it would thus be as accurate that he still regards it as a pillar of his first hope's presidency. I mean, this is why they want the guy in there. I mean, he wants all this junk. That's unbelievable. Next story. Carson cuts 50 staffers. He's down to a handful of advisors. I'm sure that what Cruz did to him in Iowa took a wind out of his sails. Another Breitbart story. Salaries are being significantly reduced, and Carson's traveling entourage will shrink to only a handful of advisors. And instead of flying on private jets, he may now be returned to commercial flights. Employees are being released, and about half of Carson's campaign, mostly work and field operations in his headquarters in Northern Virginia. In other words, he's shutting it down. And so I guess he's trying to figure out what to do with the money that he does not have coming in right now, because he's broke with what he's doing. The problem is, and I like Ben Carson, I think he's probably one of the best Christians we have out there. The problem is that he's extremely amiable. He's extremely phlegmatic. He's also been extremely brilliant. But the sad part about it is he doesn't exude leadership quality. he doesn't come across as somebody who's going to take control. And people want somebody who can speak, who can articulate, who can take control. And I believe that's why Parson got hurt so bad in the polls. Plus, he had that ghostwriter apparently write that book for him off of notes that he had given the guy. And some of the facts weren't quite right. And they completely eviscerated him for that, which is complete nonsense. So I think he was just side-dressing for the GOP. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, I think so. Like, she was just talking about, our guest on there was talking about how Ted Cruz, basically, how they're going to start doing all this stuff to pull all the votes from Trump to try and get him to Cruz, and then basically Cruz is going to pull out and probably endorse Rubio. It's just, it's a sidestep show. What they're doing is they're getting everything prepped to get one of their globalist boys in there. Like she said, they don't want Trump in there. He's against everything they're about. He's already said the TPP was a complete total nightmare. He's going to abolish it. He already said Obamacare was a complete total nightmare. He already said we need to set up borders like we should have had. He already said the Muslim integration is completely out of control. He's against everything bad that they represent. He is the only one that's talking the truth. And she's right. He's going to have to, I guess, get really aggressive and dirty with a lot of them, including Hillary and those guys, because he's kind of playing more of a cordial role, more of a respectable role, to be honest with you, as a respectable businessman. But these guys are not. They're coming up with all these blazing lies about him, all this stuff to try and hurt his credibility, and a lot of people are going to go with that, you know, old-school Republican approach, oh, Rubio's the guy to go for, Trump's, you know, this and that, and we got to try and fight that. If we want any chance of being able to restore the Republic and actually bring the Constitution back to the American people, we need somebody in there that's for the people, and that's that only person I'm really seeing right now is Trump, what he's saying and what he's doing.
Well, he can't be bribed. Yeah. Here's an interesting article that came out. I'm going to read you part of it because I don't agree with all of it. This is nutritional deficiencies that can lead to craving sweets, and I'm just going to. And the number one is magnesium. That's pretty accurate. It says when your body gets some chocolate or else, this is through the natural blaze, when your body gets some chocolate or else sign, things get ugly fast, chances your body are low on magnesium and is actually begging you to hand over some pumpkin seeds, cashews, or I would suggest using the magnesium salt bath that I use every single morning. It also says chromium. Chromium is very important, and protein is really important too, because if your protein levels aren't stable, you end up in a situation where the blood sugar drops very quickly, along with fat. You've got to have enough fat in your diet too. People don't understand. That's why I take cod liver oil every single day. And it's also going on saying silica. Yep, silica is a good one too. I take a silica cell salt every single day, along with a bioplasma cell salt. It actually works great for the skin, hair, and nails. So those are some things that I use every single day. But remember, if you put fat in your diet with every single meal, and you put, you know, we have another product that's called, it's the same thing we use to stabilize blood sugar, Austin. It's the turmeric and also the cinnamon extract product that we have. Those are the ones that really, really, really help to stabilize the blood sugar and to stop those sweet cravings. So if you're really craving sweets and you want to eat junk all the time, start on the cinnamon extract, start on the turmeric, and you'll be surprised at how much better you feel almost immediately, how much better your blood sugar is going to be and how stable it's going to be. And then if you can, you know, throw a couple cod liver oil capsules in with every meal, or, you know, take a teaspoon of it. And it's amazing how you can stabilize your blood sugar and feel good all the time, every single day, buddy. I mean, I'm 60 years old and I feel great. My energy's great. I had a purple stick this morning at 7:30 in the morning, and I haven't had any caffeine since then. And my energy levels are wonderful. I feel absolutely great today because my blood sugar is stable. Also, another thing that helps stabilize blood sugar is eggs. Eggs are one of the most important foods you can eat on a regular basis. We have a really good egg salad that Sharon makes. Now, make sure when your mayonnaise doesn't contain any soybean oil. That's really important. And no canola oil mayonnaise. Don't use soybean oil or canola oil mayonnaise. And she slices pickles up and puts in the egg salad, and it's absolutely delicious, and it really stabilizes your blood sugar for hours on end. It's a great product.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I have to say, the cinnamon extract formula that we have, a lot of people ask me about that. It's not just cinnamon. I mean, we have all kinds. We have high-dose alpha-lipoic acid. We have chromium. We have a 10-to-1 cinnamon aquaish bark extract in there. And I always tell people, dollar for dollar, that product by itself, when they ask me about sweet cravings, because I get that question all the time, how do I stop craving carbohydrates and sweets all the time? Well, there's multiple products you can use and add together, but I would say if you're on a budget and you're really trying to get your diet under control and really get your sugar cravings under control, the cinnamon extract does a great job of that with the specific ingredients that are included, the chromium, the cinnamon, and the alpha-lipoic acid. It does a really job. And also remember, the alpha lipoic acid is a free radical scavenger, and it also makes the nutrients and vitamins you're taking more efficiently absorbed, including CoQ10, vitamin C, vitamin D. So alpha lipoic acid is an incredibly good product, but you have to get a high quality one. There's a lot of garbage ones on the market that have nothing good in them. It has to be a high dose, high quality, and if you're running a real high dose, we have the alpha lipoic acid controlled release, which is good because alpha lipoic acid absorbs in the body in about 30 minutes. So the controlled release actually allows, the one that we have had, it allows the release of breakdown of that tablet over about a 6 to 7 hour period, so you can really keep your blood sugar stable and reduce sweet cravings. That's the alpha lipoic acid by itself. We also carry that at healthmasters.com. That's a very good option. Just a side note, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, no, we have the highest quality supplements in the world. I mean, I take a bunch of vitamins every single day, and I learned over the years vitamins are critical because the food supply has been so damaged. Now, here's another interesting article because, like I could say to you, here we go again. The Navy is staging two-week-long active shooter drills on bases nationwide. Guns.com. Starting this week, sailors and Marines from coast to coast will spend half of the month engaged in response training to stop active shooters and potential terrorists in their tracks. The exercise, Solid Curtain Citadel Shield, will run through February the 12th and will test police, fire, and emergency management on how they respond to threats of active shooters and potential terrorists, including role-playing on installation buildings with safe or simulated weapons to get a grip on how a more serious event could take place. Navy officials cite past instances of attacks on installations stateside as a guide onto what to be prepared for. If they would let these guys in these recruiting stations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, carry guns, Austin.
Thank you.
they would let these troops on these stations carry guns.
Most of these guys, when I was going in the Marine Corps, my recruiting officer was Master Sergeant Cook. He was about 6'3", about 240 pounds, had been in Tier 1 MARSOC Marine Corps, special operations, numerous tours in multiple countries. The man was serious. He was not a joke. He was not somebody I would even attempt to mess with. He was my recruiter. They wouldn't let him carry a gun in the recruiting station. That's how stupid this law is. These guys are combat-trained military guys, and you tell them they can't carry a weapon on their base, can't carry a weapon in the recruiting office? Are you kidding me right now? All they have to do is say, oh, we spent tens of thousands of dollars training you to be trained soldiers. You can carry a sidearm on base. You can carry a sidearm in your recruiting station. You know how many more shootings we'd have at these bases? Zero. Zero shootings. They wouldn't ever happen again.
You're right, Austin. Well, there's our music. Guys, Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Global Star Satellite will be going and doing another show. Thank you so much again for your support of healthmasters.com. Thank you for supporting our corporation. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for the great emails you send to us all the time. We just want you to know we love you guys. We appreciate you so much. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again on Sunday Night Live.
You guys have a blessed weekend.
Bless you guys.